Well, it's really lovely to be back again with you this evening, and we want to congratulate all the boys and girls for doing so well again tonight. It's wonderful just to be here and to be part of your Children's Day service. And of course, we have to thank those who put the program together and those that have played. These things just don't happen. It takes a lot of hard work and a lot of effort and a lot of heartache and maybe a few tears. And now you can all sit and relax and enjoy the rest of the service. And it's all over. That is, of course, until next year, and it'll all begin again. And but that'll not be for a while yet. Now, I want to read with you a few verses from God's precious word. And if you don't have your Bible, just listen. But if you do, it's found in the New Testament. I want to read a few verses from John chapter 19. And we trust that you'll listen very carefully, because we've come to a very, very solemn place in the Bible, a very important passage in the Bible. I want just to share with you a few verses before we speak tonight. John chapter 19, and it says there, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, 'Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him.' Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, 'Behold the man.' When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' Pilate saith unto them, 'Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him.' The Jews answered him, 'We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God.'" We'll end our reading there. We would like maybe even to read to the end of the passage, but we know time's against us. There are little ones in the meeting, and we need to get them all home to bed for school in the morning. Before we open in a wee word of prayer, I want just to also thank, because you get to my age, you forget little things. I want to thank the Reverend Higginson and his wife for putting up with me today and looking after me today, and we really appreciate the fellowship that we've had together and their kindness. Let's just have a little word of prayer and turn to the Lord for his help. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we come unto thee just now, as needful as ever. We thank thee for all that has gone before. We pray just now that thou would meet, Lord, our need. Help us, enable us to speak well of our Savior, for we ask it in his name. Amen. I wonder tonight, mums and dads, and those of you who are a little bit older in the meeting, I wonder, will you allow me just a few moments? I wonder if you'll indulge me, because we want to come back to this passage in a few moments. And it'll seem tonight as we speak as if we're going to go completely far, far away, and you might wonder in a minute or two, how are we going to get right back to this passage from where we're at? But leave it with me, and we will bring you back to this wonderful passage that we've shared with you tonight. Want to bring you right back to the cross tonight. And no better a place could we find ourselves. But before we do that, we want the boys and girls to begin to think. And we want them to begin to get their minds active. And of course, we want you mums and dads to do the same. You've probably had the best feed that you've had all week this afternoon, your Sunday dinner. I've had mine. And you might feel a little bit tired with the heat, but I want you all to be involved. And I want you all to take part. And I know in Northern Ireland we can be a little bit shy and a bit reserved, but you just do it nicely beside yourself there in the seat, and nobody will say a thing to you. And I want you all to be involved. Because tonight, boys and girls, I want to teach you a brand new language. Now, I would know by looking around me here in the congregation that there are many here who would be very capable of speaking maybe a bit of French. Is there anybody here who can speak French? Any French? Look at this here. A lot of French speakers. So I want to say bonsoir to the French people. Lovely, lovely. Okay. We've got off to a good start, aren't we? Okay. And maybe there's a few here who could speak a little bit of Spanish. Wow, very smart people. Hola. Oh, look at this here at the front, even more. Brilliant. Oh, I've got a mouthful there. I didn't know what the half it was. It was good anyway. What about Swahili? Where are the Swahili speakers? Not just so many. Well, if you happen to be out there in Africa and you run into somebody who speaks Swahili, you just say, Jambo. That means give me all your money. No, that means hello in Swahili. But I want to teach you a brand new language tonight. And this is for real. This is something that you can use immediately here in Northern Ireland. As soon as you leave the meeting tonight, this is a proper, proper language. Now, I want you boys and girls to think for a minute or two. If you were to learn a brand new language from start to finish and be very good at it and very fluent in it, I wonder how long do you think it would take for us to learn a brand new language? Does anybody could slip their hand up and tell me how long it would take for somebody to learn a brand new language? Anybody, any ideas? How long? 10 years. Okay, how long? The same as he said. Okay, we're going to go for 10 years. But well, the problem is, we don't have 10 years here tonight. We're going to learn a brand new language, and we want to do it with your help, everybody. I'm in a good place, I can see at the very back. And you've noticed I've brought a fishing net with me, but that's also, it doubles up as a cane for those who won't take part. Okay, so we have a few goodies in there as well. Look at that, gold sovereigns. We'll maybe keep them for a minute or two. We'll use them in a second or two. We want to learn a brand new language. We're going to try and do it tonight in the space of 3 minutes, okay? So it's all down to you. I'm depending on you. We're going to learn a little bit of sign language, okay? Now, for you who don't know, sign language is the language that is used in the deaf community for people who cannot hear. Can you imagine, boys and girls, your favorite program, and the sound turned down, and you're trying to watch it, trying to guess what's being said. And I know in our house, my wife just comes in with a Hoover, you can't hear anything anyway. But that's what it's like. You can't hear. That's what deafness is like. And I want tonight, just in a few minutes that we have, I want to share with you some sign language. And there are three things that you must always do when you communicate with somebody who is deaf. And the first thing is this. You must always face a deaf person. You must always look at them because they are watching your lips to see what way your mouth is moving. That is lip reading. You don't turn your head away. Don't put your hands up all over here. And all you young junior singers, don't be growing big beards, you fellas. We won't be able to see your lips through them. Now, I'm going to put you to the test for a couple of minutes. And I'm going to say something. And no word, no sound will come out. But I'll just say the words, move my lips. And I want you to watch very carefully. And the person who gets it right will get a little something out of the bag here. Okay? So watch my lips. See who can lip read here in Coleraine. Okay, all the ladies will be excellent at this, by the way. Okay, they watch very carefully. If you know the answer, don't shout out. Slip your hand up, and we'll see if you get it right. Okay, so you're watching very carefully. Okay, there's a few think they've got it. We'll put the hands down again. Not one mum or dad, no. Haven't got it at all. Hands down again. We'll give one last go. Watch very carefully, okay? Wow, some very good lip readers. This girl here, what do you think it is? Oh, thank you so much. Was she right? Well done. Get you a gold sovereign there. Okay, that's good currency in any country where they like chocolate. Very good. But I could have also said elephant stew. So it's not easy to lip read. That's the first thing. in deaf community, lip reading. Second thing in deaf community, boys and girls, is what's known as finger spelling. If you can spell the word, then the deaf person will be able to communicate with you. You might want to spell your name to them or tell them where you live, and you can spell it all out. And in the few minutes that we've got, we're going to try and take 3 minutes and teach you the whole alphabet for you to be able to use when you leave the meeting tonight. And I might stop a few people at the door and get them to spell their name to me. And you suppose you could spell anything, I don't know your name. But anyway, if you can all take part, it'll really be helpful for me, okay? I'll not be the only one doing it. Okay, in deaf community, this finger is very, very important. This is your pointer finger. And if you're right-handed, it's this finger. Maybe your dad wags the finger at you. That's the one. And if you're left-handed, it's this finger. Okay? So I want you all sitting around the front, facing well. And we want you all to take part. And I want you to just put your pointer finger up like this. You see, in deaf community, it's not rude to point. If I want to speak about the Reverend Higginson, I can point at him. That's not being rude in deaf community. Now, I know whenever you're out by and you happen to see your school teacher or some of your neighbors and you're pointing to them and your mummy say, look, look, look. And mummy goes, no, no, that's very rude. She's right. But in deaf community, it's okay to point. This finger is very important. It's their favorite finger. Okay, so have your finger, pointer finger ready. Have it about there. Okay, this poor man in the front, I can pick on him the whole time if he gets anything wrong. Other hand out like this with the fingers and thumb all spread out, okay? And we're going to teach you the 5 vowels in our alphabet. So, the thing about this is you don't say the letters out loud because the deaf person can't hear you anyway. So I'll say the letters out loud, just you copy my actions and we'll see who can really do it well. So this is going to be the 5 vowels and we'll start off with your thumb. That's A. And then you've got E. And then we've got I in the middle, in case you're lost already. Okay. And then you've got O. Look at that. That's for all you married girls. Okay. O and U. That's 5 learned already. We're doing really well. Now, in finger spelling, some of the letters that are signed out, they look like the way you would write them on your page. And I've got a lovely picture in my pocket given to me tonight by a young lady, and her writing was really, really good. Really tremendous, wasn't it? Okay, so some of them look like how you'd write them on a page. The first letter is a letter that I'm always very embarrassed about. It's the letter B. It's a very lazy letter. It should be up like that, but it's so lazy in deaf community. The letter B is that. Can you do your letter B for me? Okay, so that's the letter B. And then you move on. The letter C. If you put it back on it, it becomes the letter D. If you slip your thumb up to the top, it becomes the letter P. Okay, right up to the top there, becomes the letter P. And then if you take your pointer finger again, and you make a lovely circle with your other hand, and you slip your pointer finger in there, it becomes the letter Q. See that? Q. And then if you do that, that's the letter T. And then if you take your fingers and cross them over and stick your thumbs out, this is a good test to make sure your hands are all clean here. That's the letter W. And then you have the hardest one of all. X. Wow, so good at this, okay. Letter X. And then if you put your hand like that and your pointer finger in there, the letter Y. And you have a whole lot more learned. This is really good, isn't it? Okay, some of the letters in finger spelling look like you would set them on a page. So what we'll do is we'll have our pointer finger, we'll have our other hand nice and flat and smooth. Hope you people at the back are doing it there. In the cheap seats at the back, can't see anything. Okay, hand nice and smooth, pointer finger at the ready, and the first letter, really easy, straight up and down, the letter L. Set it on the page. That's the letter L. So if your name's Laura, L for Laura. And then you've got the letter M, which are those 3 fingers all really tight together, and set that on the page as well. Now, can you see now why I didn't want anybody to shake my hand too heavily today? Wouldn't be able to do this. So that's the letter M. And then 2 fingers tight together, the letter N. And then my favorite one, because my name's Robert, and it's the letter R. We don't use a capital, we just use a little small r, and you set the R on the page, letter R, very good. And then the letter V on the page. Some really good ones over here, very good. Letter V, we're nearly through. We'll go right back to the beginning, we'll go through the whole alphabet now, we'll pick up one or two that we haven't got, okay? So we begin at the very beginning, and we've got A, B, C, D, E, couple of new ones here, F, G, like the old typewriters, do you remember those? I think there's a few here would remember those, G, and then H, and then I am in the middle, remember that one? Now the letter I has its best friend, they always chum about together, that's the letter J. And simply what you do is you run your finger down, a little bit tickly at the bottom, make a little curl like a J. That's the letter J. So straight down, J, and curl it round. And then the letter K, like that. Straight finger, knuckle of the other one straight in there. Okay. You, some of you women with big rings there, find this a lot harder, aren't you? Okay. And then L on the page, M on the page, N on the page. Fellas over here, give themselves a round of applause here. N on the page. And then O for the married people. P, Q, R. Another new one, little fingers, small for S. Little fingers linked together, S, S. That's it, girls. Well done, S. T, last vowel, U, V, W. Hardest one of all, X, Y, Z. Okay, very well done. Now, that's the second thing. Third thing, we want to move on very quickly because we want to get right back to where we are here with the Bible reading. The third thing is slightly better than that, and it's what's known as full sign language. This is where it gets very complicated. I'm sure in the news there, sometimes you see in the bottom screen, there's a person and they're signing away like mad, and you go, wow, I wish I could do that. So do I. But I want just, in the few moments we have, to share with you four signs that are what's known as full, you see, full sign language, okay? These four signs, some of these signs are so obvious you can almost guess what they are, and these four are very simple. They're all pets that you might have at home. If you can get these right, we'll have something for you out of the fishing net. The first one, I want you to watch very carefully. If you know what the answer is, hand up, don't shout out, okay? So here's the first pet that you might have at home. What animal would this be? This fellow was very, very quick. Very good. That's a little dog. Well done. Okay. Just take one. No change given. Okay. Second one. Okay. That's the boys have got this. Let's see if the girls can get one. Very good. A cat. Okay. Back to the boys again. See if the boys can get this one. Now, fellas, I want you just to watch my hand, not my whole arm. The problem is it's all attached. Can't do anything about it. But just my hand, okay? Watching carefully. Fish. Good man. Well done. Okay. I'll give you one of these here. Looks like the sort of fellow would take a handful. Okay. Nice. Last one for the girls. Okay, girls? Okay. Girl in the end? Yeah? Yeah? Very good. Hope you come quick, quick, quick. Hop up here like a rabbit. Very good. Now, that last one there, the rabbit, there's a sign very similar to it, and it's for the donkey, and I always get the two mixed up. It's either that way or that way, rabbit or donkey. I can't remember, but it doesn't really matter. We've got the gist of it. Now, why have I done all that tonight? Very simply, many years ago, this little boy started our children's meeting. He couldn't hear. We wanted to try and communicate in some way or other to him. We went and we took some night classes. And the lady who taught us, she was also deaf. Wonderful teacher. Brilliant. But one of the signs that she taught us in that class really spoke to my heart, and I want to share that with you tonight. And it's the sign for the name Jesus. And in deaf community, the sign for the name Jesus is very simply that. Whenever a deaf person is speaking about the Lord Jesus, they would simply do that. Now, boys and girls, that does not remind us, mums and dads, of the Savior's lowly birth in Bethlehem. Nor does it remind us of his childhood growing up in the carpenter shop, being subject, that means putting himself under the authority of Joseph and his mother Mary. Doesn't remind us of that either. Nor does it remind us of his ministry or his miracles or the wonderful parables or the things that he taught and said. And of course, the Bible says that no man spake as that man ever did. But that sign, boys and girls, mums and dads, if you don't know, reminds us of the place called Calvary. It reminds us of those great iron nails that were driven into his hands there on Calvary for you and for me. And here's the thing. In deaf community, you cannot say the name of Jesus without being reminded of what he came to do. It's very sad, isn't it, in our country today? Oh, you don't have to go too far away. Television program, out by, shopping centers, in the workplace, in the school, in the playground. You hear the name of Jesus being used in a way that's not appropriate, in a way that's completely wrong, in a way that breaks the commandments that God has given. But the Lord's name is used when somebody has a fit of bad temper, when the Savior's beautiful name is used as the butt of a joke. The name of Jesus. And yet, in deaf community, you cannot say the name of Jesus without being reminded of what he went through on the cross for you and for me. And in our Bible reading tonight, boys and girls, mums and dads, we are told very clearly that he didn't die for his own sins, for he had no sin. You see, back in Bible times, the cross, a crucifixion, was reserved for criminals. It was reserved for those who deserved more than just being put into jail. It was for those who were deserving of being put to death for the crimes that they committed. There on the cross, on either side, there were two thieves, malefactors, men who had done wrong. There where the Savior was crucified, there should have been another man called Barabbas, a murderer. They deserved the punishment that was due to them. But on that central cross was where the Savior was. In our Bible reading tonight, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Pilate was his enemy. Pilate wasn't his friend. Pilate had no time for the Savior. But he still had to say, he found no fault in the Savior. He was innocent. He'd done nothing wrong because the Savior died there for your sin and for my sin. What a Savior. What a Savior. But I want to leave three little thoughts with you in closing tonight before we hand back over. Because in that passage, I want to leave three little verses, three little small things, and I trust that the Lord will apply them to your heart, because we've brought you back now to the place called Calvary. In verse 5, Pilate said, Behold the man. The Lord Jesus was standing there, and Pilate pointed and he said, Behold the man. And I wonder tonight, as we speak about the Savior, and as you look upon him, and with your mind's eye, you think about him, can you see that place? Can you see him standing there with that purple robe on? And they're making fun of him. They put the crown of thorns on him. And the blood is beginning to flow. And they laugh at him. Can you see that with your own mind's eye, your imagination? And I wonder if you looked at that in your own mind's eye tonight, do you just see a man standing there who means nothing to you? Who is of no interest to you? He's just a man. Or can we maybe go a little bit further tonight? See there in verse 19, as the Jews went past, they looked and they beheld, and there was a title above the cross, and it said, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. I wonder maybe tonight you just don't see a man there at Calvary, but yes, you would acknowledge that he was a man of importance, a king of sorts, a king to somebody. But he's not your king. You've never bowed the knee. You've never submitted to his sovereignty. You've never lived in obedience to him. Do you know the very first act of obedience to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? That is coming humbly and confessing your sin and making him your King and Lord and Savior. You've never done that. He's somebody else's king at the minute. He's certainly not your king. You live as you please. You don't live under his rule and subjection. But then finally, and with this we're finished. Verse 13 says, behold your king. Wonder tonight, do you see him as more than just a man? Do you see him as more than just a king of sorts? Do you see him tonight as your king? We're getting personal now. I want to deal with this issue as if you and me are just here alone and there's nobody else here in this meeting. Is he your king tonight? He wants to be your king. He wants to be your Lord. He has bled and he has died for you. And you need him. You know, whenever a king comes into a room, there is that acknowledging of who he is. There is that need to bow the knee. There is that need for respect. And as yet you have never bowed the knee to God. You've never made him your Savior. You know, the Bible says that one day, every knee shall bow. Would to God that you would be able to bow before the King of Kings as your King, than to have to be made to bow before him before you're condemned and cast out forever. These are solemn things. Tonight he wants to be your king. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your Savior. But you're holding out on him. Oh, that you would turn from your sin. The sin that he died to save you from. And you know, it's one thing to know that the Lord died for our sins, but it's a completely different thing to accept him and make him and take him as your Lord and Savior. Oh, I would hope tonight that you would be saved, that you would come. Even when we're nobodies and nothing, but we can very simply point you from God's word how you can be saved tonight. You can have peace and pardon and assurance and cleansing in a moment of time by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Will you come? You can do it in the closing moments of this meeting. We trust that you will. And you'll make him your Lord and your Savior. He's a wonderful Savior. I'll pass back over just to your minister. Thank you very much for your time tonight. And we really appreciate you sitting so well, boys and girls.